this canto. The culmination to this point had been given in the third chapter, where Prakrit Maharaj answered the question, Sukadeva Goswami answered the question very directly of Sukadeva, of Prakrit Maharaj. And the question that he answered was, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances, but especially, what is the duty of one who is about to die? Practically speaking, this is the essential question of life. So, in the third chapter, after explaining meditation on the universal form, leaving home, detachment in the first chapter, and then meditation upon the Supersoul, the Lord with forearms in everyone's heart in the second chapter. And in the beginning of the third chapter, he described fulfilling one's material desires, the worship of the demigods. Because whatever one wants, one can get in this world. So whether one wants things, karmi, or doesn't want things, a renunciate, trying to see the material world in relationship with the Lord, a jnani, or a yogi meditating on the Lord in the heart, or if one has no material desires and wants to serve Krishna with his full heart, still everyone, Sukadeva said, has really the same duty, and that duty is a kama savakamava, moksha kama udaradi. That duty is tivrena bhakti yogena yajita prusha para. That one should worship that supreme person who is the Lord, that is Krishna, with great tivrena, with great fixed, one-pointed strength and determination. That is what everyone's duty is. Because that will ultimately, regardless of our current situation, bring us to the highest platform. Freedom from all material miseries and going to the spiritual world. So after describing that and describing how the importance of the association of pure devotees in achieving that, the question had been answered. That question that Maharaj Prakrit had asked, what is my duty? What is everyone's duty? It had been answered by Sukadeva. So, as we remember, this narration of the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Prakrit Maharaj was being heard by Shonaka Rishi and so many sages. So after hearing this, Shonaka Rishi asked Sukadeva Goswami, he said, I want to hear more. What more did Prakrit Maharaj ask? Because he was asking, what more did Sukadeva answer? Because both of them are devotees. I'm sure what they talked about had to do with Krishna. And I want to hear about Krishna. So what more? And those who don't hear, oh, how he criticized them. Shonaka Rishi criticized them so heavily. You have ears. Those who don't hear about Krishna, their ears are like what? The holes that snakes crawl within. And their eyes are like peacock feathers. Of course, that is not as hard as the example with the holes of snakes. But still, for the practical purpose of seeing, beautiful as a peacock feather may be, but it's useless as far as seeing, even though the decoration looks like an eye. And their tongues, those people don't speak about Krishna, their tongues are like the tongues of frogs, which just by their croaking bring the snake of death closer. And their bodies, even if crowned with a turban, will do them no good. And even if they have gold bangles on, if they don't use their bodies in the service of Krishna, at the time of death, the weight of the turban and those gold bangles will sink them deeper in the ocean of death. So Sonaka Rishi was so critical of people who don't hear about Krishna, and his desire was so intense to hear about Krishna. So he begged Srila Sutta Goswami, please tell us more. We want to hear more. So in the fourth chapter, we'll hopefully, if Krishna allows, we'll cover 10 verses. There's two parts of these 10 verses. The first part is Sutta begins answering. He wants, Shonaka and the other sages want to hear more. Well, he begins speaking. And he tells, again, he reiterates what Maharaj Prickett's position was. And then he continues further by directly answering the request of the sages headed by Shonaka. And he begins telling, what did Prickett Maharaj ask of Sukadeva? And then we shall hear the answers. Now, we'll go over those 10 verses beginning right now. So Sutta Goswami begins to reply to the very fired up, strong words which were really a request by Shonaka to hear more. And he says first that Maharaj Prickett, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speech of Sukadeva Goswami, after hearing what Sukadeva said, yes, the purpose of what you should be doing at the end of your life is hearing about Krishna. Regardless of your position, regardless of what anyone's position is, we should hear about Krishna, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, and worship Krishna in devotion. So Maharaj Prickett was very excited to hear this because he was a devotee of Krishna. And this confirmed, despite the disagreements amongst the other sages who were present, this confirmed his own inherent desire, natural desire to hear about Krishna. So he was very happy. And he applied his concentration faithfully, confirmed what he was already thinking, desiring. And he took that and he firmly applied his concentration faithfully upon Krishna. Very nice. Prabhupada explains in the purport. The word satim, that's the word in the Sanskrit verse, otareya satim vyadat. Satim means chaste. The word satim is very significant. This means existing and chaste. And both imports are perfectly applicable in the case of Maharaj Prickett. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, without any diversion. This is the purpose. By the Vedas, by the process of religion, by the process of purification, the process of yoga, process of renunciation, jnana, sankhya, karma, everything. What is the purpose of it all? The goal is to focus. The conclusion is that we should focus our mind upon Krishna with great attachment and great affection and faith. So this is the purpose of the Vedas as instructed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Fortunately, Maharaj Prickett had already been attracted to the Lord from the very beginning of his body in the womb of his mother. In the womb of his mother, he was struck by the Brahmastra atomic bomb released by Asatama, but by the grace of the Lord he was saved from being burnt by that fiery weapon. And since then, the king continuously concentrated his mind upon Lord Krishna, which made him perfectly chaste in devotional service. His mind, like a chaste wife, her mind and attention is fixed upon her husband, doesn't wander to other men. So similarly, the mind of Prikit Maharaj was so chaste, it was fixed firmly and only upon Lord Krishna, who is the one who had saved him in the womb. So, by natural, so that is the meaning of the word satim or sati, chaste, the chastity of the mind of Maharaj Prikit. So by natural sequence, he was a chaste devotee of the Lord. And when he further heard from Sukadev Goswami that one should worship the Lord only and no one else, akama sava kamava, even though full of desires or desireless, when he heard that, his natural affection for Krishna was strengthened. The second verse. So Maharaj Prikit was sitting surrounded by the sages, preparing for his death. Sukadev Goswami was there to speak to him. He was completely renounced at that point. Although he was the king, although he had so many dependents, he had so much power, so much strength, he had youth, he had wealth, he was the undisputed king of the world, but yet, when he understood what had to be done, due to his attraction for Krishna, he became completely renounced. So the verse says, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, actually, one can only be renounced when one is attracted to Krishna fully. When one is captivated by the sweetness of Krishna, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's lila, pastime, then those glorious things of the material world will be thought of as insignificant. As the Goswamis, they thought of them as tuchava, tuchava, it means insignificant. They were famous. This is the process of actual renunciation or vairagya, or detachment from the world. The more we're in touch with the life of Krishna, the life of Krishna means Krishna becomes our life, not officially, but actually. The more we have our life centered in Krishna and are experiencing that, then naturally the material world is seen as it is, a pale shadow only. So therefore, because of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, Maharaj Prikit was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body. That's the heaviest of all affection to this, the body itself. His wife, his children, his palace, all these are expansions of the body. His animals, like horses and elephants, his treasury house, that everyone becomes very attached to, the treasury house. His friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. I'm going to read some of this purport. So this is truly amazing, because we naturally think that Maharaj Prikit, so unfortunate. He had everything and then he lost everything. Prabhupada explains in the purport. To become liberated means to become free from dehatma buddhi. Deha atma buddhi. This means the intelligence or the buddhi or understanding that the body, the deha, is the atma, the self. Liberation means not considering this and everything. If I consider this me, then I consider this, 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 and everything connected to the body. Every covering over the body, I consider that also me. because I consider this me. If this gets ripped or some stain falls on it, then oh, I feel the pain. This is all Dehatma Buddhi. Misidentification with the soul of the with the self as the body. So to become liberated means to become free from Dehatma Buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings and everything connected with the body, namely wife, children, and all other entanglements. One selects a wife for bodily comforts, and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place. And as such a residential house, and as such a residential house is also necessary. So all this springs, when we become attached to the body, therefore we want the body to be comfortable. So therefore we need one more thing, we need a wife. And then because we have a wife, we have children. Because we have children, we need a house. And because we have a house, we need this, we need a car. And bang, 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 bigger, bigger, all expanding. And in this way, it's like you pull the thread and suddenly an elephant comes. So much comes. Who would have expected? So then animals like horses, elephants, cows, and dogs and all are all household animals. And a householder has to keep them as household paraphernalia. Of course, according to Perth City law, we can't keep our elephant parked in the backyard, but we can keep our dog. In modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and conveyances with considerable horsepower. Unless you have a car like mine. To maintain all the household affairs, one has to increase the bank balance and be careful about the treasury house. And in order to display the opulences of material assets, one has to keep good relations with friends and relatives, as well as to become very careful about maintaining the status quo, keeping up with the Joneses. This is called material civilization of material attachment. It's also called envy. It's also called suffering and anxiety. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachment, as detailed above. All that, if one has devotion for Krishna, one is not concerned in that with that life. Because one has to please so many other things just because of attachment to the body. But when one recognizes one's position as a soul, when one really recognizes that, his only concern is to please Krishna. Prabhupada continues. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness, and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. And when there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light. The darkness, the matter, the material things can be turned to light by an expert devotee, by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything in the service of the Lord, Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe, he must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Prickett, from a fit personality like Sukadeva Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. Matter, dealing with matter in and of itself is not bad. The devotee does not have an aversion for matter. Why? Because he sees it as Krishna's. But what the aversion must be there, and this means not just lip service to it, but one must be detached from using material things for selfish, petty purposes. Otherwise, one gets unlimitedly entangled deeper and deeper in the complexities of the material world. So what the challenge of life is to use matter in such a way that rather than it increasing us, increasing our attachment and entanglement to the material world, it frees us from the material world and increases our attachment to Krishna. That is the challenge. Good. Nicole?
There is no comfortable life. Muniputra lives in a cottage, there is no wood, bedstead, anything, simple fruits and flowers. So from a materialistic point of view, this is a miserable condition of life. So he was blessed that you have sufficiently undergone austerities, now your next life is in Vaikuntha. So better you die and go to Vaikuntha. Why you should suffer? Therefore, he was blessed that Maniputta Samadhi. And the saintly person, he was blessed by the word Jivova Marova. Either you die or leave the same thing. Because a saintly person is engaged in the service of the Lord, his life is so blissful, so either he leaves or when he dies he goes back to home, back to God, he'll be the same business. So there is no difference. Just like you are engaged in this no service, you are getting the same service eternally. This is a provisional period only. Janma karma medhi dhanju jyanati tattatar tattat dhiham punar janma naiti mahi dhiham. Krishna says, anyone who can understand Krishna as he is, then after leaving this body, he comes to home, back to home, back to God, mahameva. So saintly persons, their life is so pure that in this living condition they are in Vaikuntha, and after leaving this body they are going to Vaikuntha. Jivova Marova. Both ways they are benefited. And the hunter was saying, Ma Jivova Marova, don't leave, don't die. What is that? When you are hunter, butcher, so nasty life you are living, it was better death, better for you to die. But if you die, then you go to hell. Therefore, don't die, don't live. So, Parikshit Maharaj, this was blessing. Parikshit Maharaj, don't think that Parikshit Maharaj lost everything. Because he has understood Krishna. So, according to the statement of Bhagavad Gita, it is a fact that he is going back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, what is the value of this kingdom, of the wealth of this material world? They are temporary. Even if you have got very good kingdom, very nice wife, very nice society, very, how long? And if there is any mistake, next life you can get something else. But Parikshit Maharaj is lucky because he is born devoted from his childhood. He is a devotee of Krishna. Now, when he was thirst, it was blessings for him and for all others. Because he was thirst, there was necessity of recitation of this Srimad Bhagavatam. And after hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vishnu Savane Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj, simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he got salvation. So this superficial, awkward position that he lost his life, lost his kingdom, and he had to leave his wife and children and everything, don't take it that by Krishna consciousness he became bereft of all riches. No. He is going to be rewarded very high, going back to home, back to God.
So Maharaj Prickett had sat down and Prabhupada clearly explained that his position was not at all unfortunate. Although if we think of ourselves in that position, we would become very frightened. So he gave up all his attachment, due to his attachment to Krishna, he gave up all his attachment to matter, which ultimately death will steal away from each and every one of us, regardless of how attached to it or how unattached to it we are. And he also gave up all other religious practices, all practices other than just hearing about Krishna. And he fixed himself, because again, the purpose of all other practices is to develop our love for Krishna. So he fixed himself in that attachment for Krishna. And then he began to ask questions of Sukadeva Goswami. Now, before we hear the questions that he asked, which begin in text 5, I'd like to read something of the purport of that Srila Prabhupada has written. Because the consciousness that Maharaj Prickett was experiencing, that he gave up all the scaffoldings, that's like scaffolding around a building, is meant to help build the building, to paint it and to put up the brickwork, etc. But just imagine that someone becomes attached to the scaffolding being there, even after its work has been done. So the purpose of all the religious practices are merely scaffolding, and the purpose is to develop love for Krishna. And in that love for Krishna, like Maharaj Prickett, one depends. One's refuge is fully and solely fixed on Krishna. So for me, that would be a very frightening thing. A most frightening thing. Completely depend on Krishna. No scaffoldings in my life. How frightening. But for someone exalted like Maharaj Prickett, that was reality for him. And what we can't forget is that one day, each and every one of us is going to have to leave behind all the scaffolding, all the things we depend upon. It is inevitable. So Prabhupada explains in the purport in describing Maharaj Prickett's consciousness. Maharaj Prickett is specially qualified with the word Mahamana, which puts him on an equal level with the Mahatmas described in the Bhagavad Gita. Daivam Prakritim Ashrita Mahatmanas Tumam Parta Daivam Prakritim Ashrita. They've taken shelter, full shelter, Asritya, of Krishna and his energy, his internal energy. Krishna has become everything for them. In the later age, there have also been many Mahatmas of this type, and they also have given up all Karmakandiya conceptions of life, solely and wholly depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Krishna himself, taught us in his Shikshastaka, Ashlesha va paravetam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karutuva Yata tata va vidadatta lampato mat prananata tu sevanapara. Lord Krishna, who is the lover of many devotees, women, may embrace this fully surrendered maidservant, or may trample me with his feet, or he may render me broken hearted by not being present before me for a long duration of time, but still he's nothing less than the absolute Lord of my heart. That is dependence, full dependence, with love upon Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami spoke thus, Virachaya mayidandam dinabandhu diyami te va katiriha nabhavatakat chiranya mamasti nipatu nipatatu satakoti nivaram vanavamba tarapikila payoda stuyate chakakena. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Tathaka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. Like the Tathaka bird, the particular nature of this bird is that it only will drink water as it's raining down from the cloud. It won't, even though there's water on the ground and lakes and rivers and puddles, it won't take water from anywhere except while the cloud is raining. So when the cloud is raining, the bird, when it sees a dark cloud, it follows it. But dark clouds always don't give rain. Sometimes they give thunderbolts and lightning. But yet, regardless of whether it gets rain, it's sustenance, or if it gets lightning bolts, still the Tathaka bird doesn't change its nature to only get its nourishment, its water, from that cloud. So similarly, Rupa Goswami is saying, this is the mood of a devotee, a real devotee. That Krishna may handle me roughly, he may handle me gently, lovingly, he may be present before me, he may not be present before me, but whatever he does to me from my side, he is my Lord, my worshipful Lord, the love of my life and the object of my service and devotion. This is what devotion is. Madhavendra Puri says, all my evening prayers, all good unto you. All my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I'm unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. All rituals finished. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sin simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa. That is Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of any further endeavor? And he continues, that the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned, I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy mammonites may point me out as mad. He's given up everything. He's a fool, a rascal, mad, crazy. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do so. So the devotee in these moods, with that type of fixed determination, although they say, though I am unable to do so, and though they say, you may not be present before me and you can trample me or whatever. They may say that, but actually in this mood itself, in the concentration of that mood, they experience Krishna and the ecstasy of being with Krishna. And then when they leave this world, they go to Krishna. This type of dependence, this type of exclusive devotion is required. So, it is a very heavy price, it seems. And on one side, we give up everything, and it's natural to think, is it worth it? Maybe it's time for to hear what Prabhupada says. This is the other side.
Samasthana vijnana, samasthana is death. Death is your. Death is the best unity, as sure as death. Nobody can say that I can avoid death. That's a fact. So one who actually understands that I have to die, people do not understand. Everyone thinks that he is not God. He's not man. That is not man. He's seeing that everyone is dying. He still is thinking that I shall not die or I shall live for millions of years. There is no question of that. But it is a fact. You may be advanced in science, but it is death is sure. That's a fact. Therefore it is advised here that samsthani jara, one who is actually intelligent, he should know that he is God. But the homies, the rascals, he knows also that he is God, at least theoretically accept, but he wants to enjoy, since the death does not come, to the fullest extent. That is the present condition of the society. He knows that he will die, so long my senses are there, let me gratify. Now yesterday, when I went to the bank, there was a cinema signboard. What is that? Yeah.
Because this
material life means sex. So they are seeking sex after death. You see, I'm just a plain acceptance of the material state. If there is sex after death, they are in bed. If there is sex after death, then they are not fearful of death. There is a story that one man was drinking. So, drinking in India is a great sin. So, his friend advised that you are drinking, you'll go to hell. So, he said, oh, my father also drinks. So he said, your father also will go to hell. Oh, my brother also drinks. Oh, he will also go to hell. In this way, he continued to say, my father, my brother, my sister, my this, my that. So, and you are replying, yes, he will also go to hell. Oh, then hell is heaven. Because we all drinking here and drink there. What is the hell? That is heaven. Similarly, this signboard is like that. If sex is there after death, then that is not there, that is life. So actually, you have got sex after death. Because you are getting into another body. Now you are having sex as human being in a very nice apartment or on the street, on the beach, as you like. The next life also, as cats and dogs, we will have sex life. The sex life is not denied because the life is there. Aravita Varama Intanamcha. This moitu means sex life. Eating, sleeping, and sex life, and defending. Aravita Varama Intanamcha. Samana Veta Pasuhina Rama. This is our inquiry. Now, if this inquiry is taken scientifically, if there is sex after death, it is not joking, if it is taken seriously. So, people should be informed that yes, there is sex after death. Why there is no sex? Because there is life after death. You get another body, maybe God's body, demigod's body or dog's body. You get another body, according to your own work. And as soon as you get body, these four things are there, eating, sleeping, sex, and defending. So there is actually. So the higher inquiry should be that then what is the position of the sex life? The position of the sex life is eternal. The sex life is from Radha and Krishna. Cinemical, spiritual. But there the sex life is not like this. Abominable sex life. There is sex impulse. In the original mind, how we have got this sex impulse? And the Vedanta Sutra is saying, Janmadasajata. Supreme Brahma, Absolute Truth is that from whom everything comes. So if there is sex life, then in the Absolute Truth there must be sex life. Otherwise, where your body? everything is there. But the difference is that here everything is contaminated, abominable, and there everything is without inequalities. It is happy, healthy, and eternal. That is the difference. The things are there. Just like Krishna's mother, motherly affection, her mother Yasoda upon Krishna, and Krishna is playing as child, pleasing mother Yasoda, so the thing is also in this material world. Here also, the mother likes to raise his beloved child, the child also plays to give praises to the mother, the Rosa. Rosa means the humor or mellow exchange between the mother and the child is there and here. Similarly, friendship, similarly, conjugal love, everything, all the five rosas, mellows, are there. The impersonalists cannot understand. They are afraid of, as soon as they hear love, oh, love, here is love, the first spirit, but then it's Maya. Then Krishna's love is also Maya, therefore they are called Mayavadi. They are carrying this material idea to the spiritual life. And when they cannot accommodate, they make it zero, or impossible. So, no one. That is their question. They cannot understand that these friends, akumhav. Akumhav means to make this material world as beloved, you will have to make Krishna as beloved. That is difficult. Everything is there. You get everything in return. As yet, you are trying to enjoy, but without any inability. That is called Krishna consciousness. So, Vaidhi Maharaj attained this state, and therefore he could give up all his kingdom, all his family, all his animals and everything, and he simply became Krishna consciousness.
Mars cricket, fully detached,
feeling enlightened and happy to hear the words of Sukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada explains the crucial test of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that once you get positive enlightenment by such hearing, by such an act. So he was experiencing that. And then he began to ask questions of Sukadeva Goswami. So the first question he asked was, I beg to know from you how the personality of Godhead, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods. So how is it, he's asking, does this creation take place by the Lord through his energies? This universe, this world is inconceivable. The scientists, they can get telescopes as big as a mountain, and they will still not be able to see the depths of the universe and understand them. And they can get microscopes and power them electronically and get atom smashers and particle crunchers and they can break down the particles, quarks and subquarks and this and that, and still they will not be able to understand the universe. It is inconceivable. The more they break it down and the further they look, the more complicated it appears, not that the solutions come to them. So Prickett Maharaj asks, how does Krishna do it? Through his energies. Then, in the seventh verse, so he asks about the creation, and then in the seventh verse he says, kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions. So he uses, Krishna has so many different energies and he has so many different expansions, and he is the Supreme Lord. Krishna stu bhagavan sayam ete changsa kalopung san. Krishna stu bhagavan sayam. He is the Supreme Lord. And just like when a candle is lit from the original candle, that original candle doesn't lose its power, or the sun. For so many years, thousands and millions of years, light has emanated from the sun, but it's not that the sun has lost any power. So similarly, if these examples exist in the material world, we can understand that Krishna, so many energies and so many expansions come from him, but it's not that he is lessened by any of that. That is the meaning of being God. He is unlimited, inexhaustible powers. So he's asking, so first he asked, as we heard, about the creation. He said, now he asks, how can this all-powerful Lord, through his energies and expansions, how does he maintain and wind up this phenomenal or material world? So how does he create it? How does he maintain it? And how does he ultimately destroy it? So these are the questions that he asks, because these questions have to do with Krishna's dealing with the material energy. Because unless we get a clear understanding of how Krishna is so powerful, inexhaustibly powerful, unless we get that clear understanding, then when we get to, unless we have that understanding that the Lord is so different from us, unless we get that understanding, when we hear about Krishna's activities in Braja, in Vrindavan, when we hear about his dealing with the gopis, we'll think that that's mundane. We'll misconstrue it to be material. When Krishna dances with the gopis, it has nothing to do with what a person in the material world does when he dances or has some attraction to a member of the opposite sex. Completely different as iron and gold, as different as lust and true love. So the real relationships that satisfy, they exist in the spiritual world with Krishna, and the perverted reflections of those exist in the material world. And we are trying to find our happiness in the reflection and not finding it, when the real happiness exists in the spiritual world. So before hearing and explaining about the intimate dealings of Krishna with his most intimate and pure devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, before explaining that in the 10th canto, Prickett Maharaj is asking questions that will give us a true idea of what God is, how powerful it is, God. Because nowadays we see how foolish people are. Some person comes along and says, I'm an incarnation of God, or that we're all God, and people believe it. People believe we are all God, but can we create universes? Can we have inexhaustible energy? We never think, as Prabhupada once told me, there was this one person claiming to be God, and he had so many followers. Prabhupada was so furious, and he said he never thinks that, why, if I am God, why do I have to go to the dentist when I have a toothache? What is this? What is this insanity? People in this day and age, they have no concept of what God means to be God. And therefore, so cheaply we say, I am God, we are all God, this one's God, that one's God. So to check this tendency of the age of illusion, now the questions that Prickett Maharaj asks are, that will give us a glimpse of what it means when we say God. What do we mean? We don't mean God who has toothaches and belly aches and has aching knees and is poverty stricken or has a problem with the tax department or like that, or his wife becomes angry at him and divorces him and runs away, or his children don't listen to him. That is not God. So to give us an understanding of what we mean when we say God, Bhagavan, Krishna, he asks these questions. How is God creating the material world, maintaining it and destroying it? None of us can create the material world or maintain it or destroy it. Universes, we look up at night and we see billions of planets. Just a spark, mama amsa tejo sambhava, just a spark of Krishna's power. And yet, by the time we get to the 10th canto, we hear that Krishna, that same creator who is doing that with just a part of his power, he's walking around Vrindavan herding cows with no shoes on. So unless one has an understanding of who Krishna is, one will mistake this. Therefore, this gradual progression of philosophy has to be given. So he asks that about the creation and maintenance and destruction of the world, and then explains how these things are actually the power of Krishna is inconceivable even for the greatest, most intelligent scholars. The most intelligent people cannot conceive the limits of Krishna's power because they are limitless, inconceivable. Achintya Shakti. And then he asks another question, not exactly a question, but it makes a statement in text 9, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. There is one Supreme, one ultimate, Dhamma Jasya Taha, from which everything else springs. Now, when dealing with the material world, whether he alone acts with the modes of material nature, does he directly deal with the material world? He's making the statement that there's still only one. Does he directly deal with the material world? Is he maintaining it personally? creating it, destroying it? Is it him who's personally doing it? Because he must be very busy if he's doing that. He might not have any fun. He's waiting for his weekend days like us. So he's doing that, or he's doing it through expansions, many, many expansions that he... So many expansions all at once come from him and deal with the material world, or a succession of expansions, one expansion after another, comes from another. So this is all going on, but yet God is one. So he's making this point and he wants to hear about this. And therefore, in text 10, he says, please, explain these doubtful inquiries to me. I'm asking this because I don't know. He's placing himself, Maharaj Pricket is placing himself humbly before his spiritual master. And he says, because you are a great devotee, you are vastly learned in the Vedic literatures, and you are a great devotee, and therefore you are as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because even though Krishna is inconceivable, that no one can understand how great he is and the extent and limitation of his power, still, because of the nature of the intimacy of the relationship between the Lord and his devotees, the pure devotee can know Krishna by Krishna's grace. I'll just read a little of the purport and then we'll end. Maharaj Prickett admitted in the previous verse that the Lord is inconceivable even for the greatest learned scholars. Why then should he again request Sukadeva Goswami to clarify his insufficient knowledge about the Lord? The reason is clear. Not only was Sukadeva Goswami vastly learned in Vedic literatures, but he was also a great self-realized soul and a powerful devotee of the Lord. A powerful devotee of the Lord is by the grace of the Lord more than the Lord himself. The personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, attempted to bridge the Indian Ocean to reach the island of Lanka. But Sri Hanumanji, the unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead, could cross the ocean simply by jumping over it. The Lord is so merciful upon his pure devotee that he presents his beloved devotee as more powerful than himself. The Lord expressed himself to be unable to save Durvasa Muni, although the Muni was so powerful that he could reach the Lord directly under material conditions. But Durvasa Muni was saved by Maharaj Ambarish, a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, not only is a devotee of the Lord more powerful than the Lord, but also worship of the devotee is considered more effective than direct worship of the Lord. Madbhakta puja bidikara. The conclusion is therefore that a serious devotee must first approach a spiritual master who is not only well versed in Vedic literatures but is also a great devotee with factual realization of the Lord and his different energies. Without the help of such a devotee spiritual master, one cannot make progress in the transcendental science of the Lord. And a bona fide spiritual master like Sukadeva Goswami does not speak about the Lord only in the matter of internal potencies, but also explains how he associates with his external potencies, meaning the material world. The Lord's pastimes in the internal potency are displayed in his activities in Vrindavan, but his external potential works are directed in his features of Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Gavadakshaya Vishnu, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers his good counsel to the interested Vaishnavas when he says that they should not be interested in hearing only about the Lord's activities like Rasalila, but must be keenly interested in his pastimes and his features of the Purusha avatars in connection with Srishti Tattva, the creational functions. Following the examples of Maharaj Prickett, the ideal disciple, and Sukadeva Goswami, the ideal spiritual master. So far, in the first three chapters, what has been established? That worship of Krishna for everyone at all times and places is what should be done with one's existence. Then in this fourth chapter, these questions have been asked about the creation, maintenance of the world and destruction of the world and the Lord's relationship with the material world. Then, this is chapter 4, then in the 5th and 6th chapter, the creation and the Lord's inconceivable, Achintya-bheda-bheda, inconceivable relationship with the material energy and the creation will be described. In the 7th chapter, the end of the 6th chapter, the Purusha avatars, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Gaba Dakshaya Vishnu, and Kira Dakshaya Vishnu, how the Lord directly relates with the material world, not directly, but how the Lord's incarnations that deal with the material world are described. And then in the 7th chapter, how the Lord deals with the world through his Leela avatars, how he enters the world through avatars. That will be described. So this is entering right now the second section, so to speak, the second grouping of pastimes in the second canto, and we will be hearing that for the next 3 weeks. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.